Don't know what a blessing that was to me, Pastor Hicks. Just good. Take your Bible tonight, please, and turn with me to Exodus chapter 25. When you get over there, there'll be one verse that, there'll be three or four verses. Then I'll turn to another place here directly that I want to go along with that, and it'll be Revelation chapter 4. But I want to start in the Old Testament, and you might say, what are you going to do? I'm going to preach from the Old Testament clear through to the New. All in about 30 minutes. Well, with me in the driver's seat, that won't be a big feat. You ain't going to get much. Amen. Exodus chapter 25. Some interesting things going on over here. And I was over in Exodus this morning a little while, but I didn't get on any of these things. And the book of Exodus, written by the man Moses, and he put that thing together and recorded all that God would allow him to record. And it's amazing that in the first books of the Bible, especially in the first five books, what all you can find out about life and God. And especially, that's the same God we're serving today. But in Exodus chapter 25, it is about the time that Moses has gone up on the mountain. And the Lord is telling him by pattern how to build the tabernacle. And I probably ought to get enough context here so we get a good solid base, and it won't hurt us to read those nine verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skin dyed red and badger skin and chittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stone and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That's a verse that got my attention. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I shew thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. So they're going to build a tabernacle according to the plan of God so that he can dwell in that tabernacle. And I take your Bible now and go to Revelation chapter 4, and we'll come back to that chapter. But I want you to look in the last chapter of your Bible, last book of your Bible. We're talking about the same God. We're talking about the same power, the same God, the same desires that God has to dwell among men. And he says here in verse, after this I looked in verse 1, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. Now, John is getting a look-see into the presence of God where God dwells. And could I say this evening carefully, He's getting a look into to God's house, into the house of God up there in heaven. And it says, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before of the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. See Isaiah chapter 11 if you need a reference on that. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. Man, quite a spectacle to step into the house of God. I mean, quite a show. There's a lot of things to see that we never saw before when you get up there where God lives. And it says, and the first beast was like a lion, the second beast was like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. We've seen these before over in the book of Daniel. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them. Well, wait a minute. Those ones in Daniel had 4 wings, and these have 6 wings. So there must be a difference between a seraphim and a teraphim. But we don't have time tonight for that. But notice the things that we're seeing in the house of God. And they rested not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. When those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and casteth their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, brother, you just got a wink, 11 verses of scripture into where God lives, up in glory. And look, if you would, back towards our text in Exodus. And they're going to build a tabernacle where God can come down and dwell. Now, I thought about that. Brother, you better have your house in order, amen, if you're going to build some kind of house for God to get into. And I looked at this, and I thought that this message needs a title. So I gave it a title, The Order of the House. Because I believe God is an ordered God. Brother, when I read over there in Revelation chapter 4 and I saw all that stuff happening, they were bound down at a certain time and doing everything at a certain time, and there was some beast flying through crying, Holy, holy. Brother, if one thing I could spot, there was no chaos there. There was order there. Could I say there needs to be order in the house where God is going to dwell? And so he's showing Moses this stuff. In all of heaven, where God lives, or where God dwells, there is order. David said this in Psalms 18, verse 11. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. So it's hard to know what all's going on where God wants to dwell. Says in Psalms 81, verse 7, and David knew and wondered about and studied on these things. Thou calledest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Psalms 91 and verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm saying when God is dwelling, there's some things going on that sometimes is mystical and hard to understand. And brother, but I know this about God. He's an ordered God. He's not a chaotic God. There's no confusion when you get in his presence. When you go into his house in Revelation chapter 4, brother, it's well ordered. And people, I mean, that thing is working just like he set it up to work. No chaos, no confusion. And brother, things were happening for the glory of God in his presence. But now, come on back with me. Moses is going to build him a temple, a tabernacle. Boy, how'd you like to have that job? And then did you see all the stuff he was going to gather up? And he's going to build it out of that? Badgers, skins, dyed red. Well, I find out the things that are important to us sometimes aren't as important to God. We just mind God, find out it'll please God. Now, finding out the secret place of God and how it is set in order, we can notice God's throne and all those round the throne of God, but we can learn still greater things, I believe, by noticing the tabernacle in Exodus 25 and the order that God sets forth in it, simply enabling him to dwell among his own. Like my text said, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. I'd like to preach to you a while about order in the house. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for tonight, and thank you for Pastor Dennis. Lord, I pray especially for him tonight that you give him physical strength and you'd give him mental strength. And Lord, above all, you give him a sweet peace and a grace that has flooded his soul. His heart is pure to sing these songs that praise thee and bless us. And God, tonight I pray for him especially for this opportunity to stand here behind this pulpit where he stood many times. And allow me an opportunity just to say a couple of things. Lord bless Brother Jay as he helps. And God stir him up more than he is, that he might love you and hold up the arms of this man that pastors this church. Father, tonight you see me and my terribleness and my feebleness. You see my ungodliness. Oh God, my repenting needs to be repented of. And I pray, God, you'd have your way tonight. And you'd help out the saints. You'd surely help me. Lord, you'd save that one that needs to be saved, if there's one special like that here tonight. Bless now as we try to preach your word, and give me grace and give me utterance to speak this your word. Give you the praise for all that you do, all that you accomplish here in this place. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen. Now, finding out the secret place of God and how it is set in order sometimes is beyond the human imagination. So I'm glad tonight I don't have to imagine how it might be, because I have his word that can give me some pure fact on how it would be here in the Old Testament and even in the New, where we read as a record for our learning, our encouragement. And I believe tonight that it behooves every child of God and every church across the land to learn how to have order in the house, if we're going to say God is in our midst. That truly we boast God is here, he showed up. And truly we know, because we've been taught, we've been read that the precious Holy Ghost of God dwelleth in everyone that believeth. So he's here and he comes, and it's called the mystery of Christ in you. For in Colossians 1 verse 27, if you need a reference, that's a mystery. You can't understand that thing. You can't explain that thing. But he said to be here, and not just in the Holy Ghost of God, but in Christ. And when that title is given in Colossians 1:27, where it says Christ dwelleth in you, brother, that means the Christ. That means the Lord Jesus Christ, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You can't explain that thing. That's because it's a mystery, but he's chosen to be in our midst, in his dwelling within us. You explain that to me. I can't explain that thing no better than that. But the Word of God says it's one of the mysteries that we're supposed to know about. God wants to dwell with mankind, and he chooses us to dwell in here. Now watch. In Exodus 25, God gives Moses a pattern. Thank God for patterns. Amen. And he says God's pattern for it. It's a heavenly thing. Look in verse 40 in our text. We didn't read all those passages, but we'll share some of them this evening. He says, "And look that thou make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount." Now, God knew how he wanted it done. And God, he's a good God. He said, "I'm going to give you a pattern." You say, why would God bother to give him a pattern? Because God is a God of order, and if he's going to dwell in a tabernacle here on this earth, it needs to have the same kind of order that we read about over in Revelation chapter 4. He's a God of order. He said, so I'm going to give you a pattern, and I want you to do it just like, don't change a thing, don't deviate from what I showed you. And I can see Moses over there getting that pattern, and brother, he's bringing it back down, and he's sharing that pattern with the artificers and the builders and the carpenters and all the people and all those that would bring the offerings in. He told them exactly what he needed. And you know what? I don't read any place where they didn't get enough. Everything come in. You say, why? They were wanting to do it just the way God said to do it. Oh, would to God we would key in on that and just want to do things just the way God wants them. You say, why? Because it would please God, because he's a God of order. And I'm looking here, give him a pattern, and look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was astonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. You better believe he was astonished when God began to show him those things. I'm astonished tonight when I read about those things. I couldn't even imagine what and how Moses must have felt. But the Bible says he was astonished. See, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee to thee in the mount. There's some order to this thing, and I don't want you to get it wrong. You can't put the blue where the red goes, and the red can't go where the blue goes. And brother, the gold has got to be on this, and the silver's got to be over here. There was order in the thing that God showed Moses in that pattern over there. Now, you say, well, you think it's that important? I know it's that important. Watch. Exodus 25, verse 9. He says, according to the pattern. Exodus 25, verse 40, where I just read, according to the pattern. Exodus 26, verse 30, according to the pattern. Exodus 27 verse 8, according to the pattern. Listen, when God wants to make sure mankind paying attention and gets it right, and there's no misinterpretation, and nobody wrote it down wrong, he'll begin to repeat himself just so he can get it through our thick old head sometimes. Amen. It's important. Accounts of creation in the Word of God. A wonderful study in the book of Genesis. Occupies two chapters in your Bible. While the tabernacle that he wanted built by the deliverer, the man Moses, occupies 14 chapters in the Old Testament. You say, why? Because it's important that man get a hold of the fact that when God comes down to dwell with man, he expects order in the house. You say, well, how do you know? I read it to you. In Revelations 4, 1 through 11, you get up there. There was no chaos over there. The seraphims, they weren't crying, holy, 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 at the wrong time. But see, over there in heaven, there's no wrong time. They were consistently, continually crying, holy, holy, holy. And nobody had to say, strike up the band. Nobody had to do this or that. Nobody had to place the 24 elders in the 24 seats. Nobody had to figure out. You say, why? There was order in the house of God. So the 14 chapters dedicated to the building of the tabernacle where God wants to come down and dwell was a tabernacle of order. You don't better not get that thing wrong. I'm looking here. God's purpose through it. Now I said God's pattern for it. It was a heavenly pattern. Had nothing you could find on this earth. We've got a lot of marvelous inventors on the face of this earth over the now all the time. But none even holds a candle could even thought or comprehend the design that God demanded for the tabernacle where he said to come and dwell with his people. One just a marvelous. So God pattern for it was heavenly. God's purpose through it. He had a purpose. What in the world would God's purpose be in something like that? It's that he might have fellowship with his people. Now that seems simple. Doesn't that seem simple? But I'll tell you what. God has always wanted to fellowship with his people. When he created Adam and he created Eve, and brother, you went all through that thing in the book of Genesis, and he would come down in the cool of the day and walk with Adam and Eve, and they would commune one with another, and there's sweet fellowship said to be had over there until Eve disobeyed God, and Adam followed in her suit. That he come down as at other times before. He desired that fellowship. And God knew. He knew where they were. He knew what was going on. But man didn't know what he was doing and what he had going on. So God said, Adam, where art thou? God knew where he was. He was out of fellowship with him. God knew what was going on. He had sinned and taken of the forbidden fruit at the hand of his lovely wife, Eve. God knew what was going on, and he had already prepared because he's God. He already knew, but man didn't know what he was doing because God has always had a purpose, and that was to fellowship with mankind. God had to get him out of the garden. You know how the story goes. But in Exodus 25 and 8, he says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. He wanted fellowship with his people. He walked with Enoch and took him. Things were in order. You know, when he finally, when before Adam sinned, and when he walked, things were in order. Could we agree? Just the way God wanted them. As soon as man messes with them just a little bit, breaks that fellowship with God. And then Enoch is said to have walked with God, and things were good. Things were in order, and God took him, called him out. He walked with Noah, and Noah found grace in the presence of God. And he's called the friend of God. Abraham is next. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Abraham walked with God and is said to be the friend of God. You say, why? Because God always has desired have fellowship with God. You know, when Abraham went down into Egypt and he took Hagar and she conceived and brought forth a child, God didn't speak or fellowship with Abraham for 13 years. That boy was 13 years old before God restored that fellowship. 13 is the number of rebellion. And brother, when God wants to dwell with somebody and wants to be a part of that thing, and he will not put up with disorder. He will not put up with disobedience. He will not put up with you doing it your way. God wants honor in the house. Broke that sweet cell of fellowship for 13 years. Well, we could go on and on. He wanted to dwell with his chosen people here in the Old Testament. To accomplish this purpose, we must have things in order. He told the man Moses 4 or 5 times, like the pattern. Like the pattern is very important. I dedicated those 14 chapters in the Word of God so Moses would get that thing right. And it was so impressed upon the man Moses. It's written about by Paul over in the book of Hebrews that I quoted before. He was astonished. And so Moses writes it all down. You better believe they read that thing many times and many times and many times. You say, why? Kind of astounding thing. When God gives you a pattern and an order to follow and tells you, I want to dwell with you just so I can dwell with you. Just so I can be in your presence. And they built that tabernacle. And, you know, God's place is in it. At the mercy seat, if you please look at verse 22 in our little text there in Exodus 25, he says the innermost part of that place, he had a special place, told him just how to make the holy place and then the holiest of holies and so on and so forth, how to put the veil up and where, how to build the furniture, and what went where. There was order in that tabernacle. We won't have time, but I know you've been in the Bible long enough and a good student of the Word of God. You understand exactly what I'm trying to say. There was order in that tabernacle, and the mercy seat was in the Holy of Holies. And there the Bible says, I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things, which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. God was found in their presence above that mercy seat. You just couldn't walk sitting there any time. High priest went in once a year with a blood sacrifice for you. And there was a series of laws and sacrifices that you had to offer, because God, there was order. There was the want of God to be in their presence. And he said to have led them by day with a pillar of cloud, and to led them by night by a pillar of fire. Say, why? Because God was there, and they had built it in the way that God showed Moses, and they had done everything that God said, and they cautiously did this and cautiously did that, and said, you better check that now. Check that pattern again. We don't want that thing wrong. You get that thing wrong, it ain't going to fly. Yeah, amen, it ain't going to fly. God's place in it over the mercy seat. We see God's order in the design and setting of the tabernacle from the holiest out to the very gate. Everything had to be just right and in its place. I like that with God. I like that. Had no guessing. My God ain't confused. He's a God of order. You know, you can have all the order in the world in your life, but if you're not saved, you have utter chaos. You think about that a minute. People can be so organized and everything is hitting on all 8 cylinders, we say, and man, life is good, things are good, but if you're lost, are you listening to me? God doesn't dwell with you, and your order isn't any good, and your life is chaos, and it's just a matter of time till the whole thing falls apart, and you're nothing without God, the order. Well, here are the mercy seat, the veil, the table of showbread, the candlestick, the altar of incense, the brazen altar, the laver, the high priest, all had their place and all had their job and all had their position. No exceptions. If God was going to dwell there, everything had to be in its place, and there was order in the house. Is it any wonder when we read in the New Testament when John sees heaven that everything is immaculate, everything is in order, everything is functioning the way it was. Nobody had to tell anybody what to do. It was the way it was supposed to be. God is not the author of confusion. Israel had an order in their approach from the gate inward, bringing the sacrifices to the priest, the lamb, the sin offering, or the peace offering. And they had a mediator, a high priest, who could go in and officiate on their behalf. The book of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, you can get into his house today. Now, be careful. Can he get into your house? Now, we've entered in. We've seen it with our eye as we read from the holy word of God. We have got a glimpse of the house of God, how it was in the Old Testament tabernacle and how it was in the New Testament when John the Revelator recorded it when he saw it. And tonight you have heard with your ear and your spiritual eye has seen, if you've listened and paid attention, the order of the house of God. Now, we've got a peek into God's house. Could I ask, is God in your house? Is God in your house? There's an order. See the sacrifice, Christ our Lamb. See the mediator, Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, the mediator between man and God. See the Savior, Christ my Lord, that died on the cross of Calvary. Now, there are four houses found in the Word of God. And there's order in these houses. There, number one is the house or home of God where he lives. Psalms 48. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north the city of our God? We read about it in Revelation chapter 4. We've had a peek into the house of God. And we know it's a magnificent house. And Moses must have got a glimpse of that thing because he had the pattern of the house of God, knew how to build the tabernacle. Then I find in the Word of God, not only is the house of God that I've been talking about, the home where God abides. And by the way, each one of these I'll give you tonight has to have order. The house of our dwelling, your home, where you live. You got a place where you live. I went to Jay's house last night. If you come to my house, mine's on wheels. Well, the one I live in on the road. But I got a house. Back of Holler, back an old road. Bo's been there. Back down a creek. And it's a log cabin sitting on a little knoll, a little knob. But I got a house. So there's the house of our dwelling place, Matthew chapter 7. We read about it just a little this morning, but if you take a turn there, it talks about that house that's built on the rock. And listen, if you're going to have a house that's built on the rock, it has to be on the rock. If it's going to stand, then that house built on the rock has to have the order of God in it, or it's not a Christian home, to say the least. In Matthew chapter 7, we read it a little while this morning, but in Matthew chapter 7, as I've recorded here in verse 24, the Bible talks about that, and I'll read it again. For I remember, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And listen, you got to do it the way God said, the way God's word says, if you're going to have a Christian home. And he says, and the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. Fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You better believe that tabernacle in the Old Testament, it could stand up against the desert heat. It could stand up against the desert storms. It could stand up or whatever was blowing by that way. You say, why? Because it was a house of God where God dwelled. And it wasn't no flim-flam piece of junk. It was made out of the tabernacle and the pattern that he saw over here. Because say why? God was going to dwell there. And if you're going to have a home that's built on the solid rock, that's called a Christian home. And that home ought to stand the test of time and all that the world can throw at it, and the devil and the flesh and anything else you want to talk about. Well, that's the house of our dwelling, our home, if we're saved. He told that maniac of Gadara, take your Bible and go to Mark chapter 5. Look what he said, Mark chapter 5. Now, this guy just got saved. Mark chapter 5, verse 19. The Bible says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friend and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Listen, I'll bet you when he went back home, things changed around that house. Huh? Now, when he had a home, but the Bible says he was living in the tombs and he was chained. They had chained him. He'd cut himself. I mean, he had all kinds of issues when the Lord showed up, but the Lord was able to save him as the Lord had been able to save you and me. Amen. We wasn't no better off than the maniac of Gadara. Oh, Brother Phil, I was better than he. But no, you wasn't. Just as lost as he was. Just as much child of the devil as he was. And if you don't believe that, there's something wrong with you tonight. You need to pay attention. You're lost and undone. There's nothing good in you, me, or anybody else. And if you get saved, the only thing good in you will be the Lord Jesus Christ. That mystery I told you about, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. And brother said that he wants to dwell among his that are chosen. That little gal got saved today. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ come in to bone and to live there. Things are going to change in her house, amen. And not just for her around here, but in her home. Things are going to change where she lives. When that maniac in there went home, I got a feeling some things changed, amen. I mean, home is mentioned 15 times in the New Testament. And brother, every time there's a reference to a home, we need to pay attention to what's going on. And brother, I think all the way through the Word of God, I didn't run them all down, but I remember one time the Ark of the Covenant, and that's that thing they had in the Holy of Holies where the presence of God came down. David was trying to retrieve that thing over there, and he did it all the wrong way, and it killed Uzzah, and it killed the other guy there. And man, they just had a mess on their hand because they messed up and didn't follow the pattern of God for retrieving the thing and carrying the thing. I mean, the Kohathites were supposed to be carrying it, but he had the army carrying it. 30,000 men, if my memory serves me right. And brother, David was afraid of that thing. I'd be afraid of that thing too. You go to messing with the presence of God. And brother, they took it down to Obed-Edom's house. Remember that? Some things changed in that house. See, what are you trying to say? I'm saying when God comes to your house, there's honor in the house to be found. Some things change in your house. There ain't no helping it when God's there. Mrs. Obed-Edom come in there. She said, Obed, I talk. She grabbed her mouth and looked over there, and there was the Ark of the Covenant. Well, that woman wasn't supposed to raise her voice to that man. He said, what happened? Something changed in that house. Them kids couldn't run through that house, ripping and tearing. And man, one's a hollering the other. How kids is, you know, chasing one down, going to knock them down, just have their way like they always been used to in that house. And man, Mrs. Obed-Edom said, man, oh, God is in this house. You better settle down. See what happened? When God comes to a person's house, you don't do the things you used to do. You said you're making all that up. Well, sure is good preaching, ain't it? I don't know what all happened down there, but I can tell you this: when Obed-Edom and the thing, that covenant, that Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God come in there, things were different in that house, and God began to bless that house. You want the blessing of God? Then have a little order in your house when God is said to come and dwell with you. I guarantee you his house changed. The maniac of Gadara's house, I got a bunch of stuff here, but I won't give them all to you. All of a sudden your house ain't on the sand no more. It's on the rock. Now you care about what you do in your house. God's there. You know when the queen, Psalms 84:10, for a day, the Bible says in Psalms 84:10, for a day in thy court, talk about the house of God, is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. Bro, this world ain't nothing but the tents of wickedness. The homes are wicked. Where people live is wicked. When God comes to that house, things change. The Queen of Sheba come up to see the court of Solomon, and she said the half. She was so amazed, so impressed at the order that was found in the house. She said, the half has not been told me. I wonder if you stepped into my house today, you would even be impressed that a Christian man and woman lived there. Would you see all the things of the world and all the junk of a carnal life and all of this and all of that and say, I can't even tell if God ever showed up in this house or this home. I preached for a man by the name of Joe Williams. He was pastor in the First Baptist Church or a Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio. And when I went to preach for him, he had got called out and was in the Carolinas someplace, and he called me and said, go ahead and preach that Sunday night anyhow. And one of the, at that time, Phil Kidd was the assistant pastor of Joe Williams. I'm going back to the 70s, 78, 79. I haven't seen either. I think Brother Joe has gone on. Brother Phil may be alive. I haven't seen any of them since that time. But as a young preacher boy, he says, Brother Phil will take you to my house there in Cleveland. He lived down in a bad part of town. He gave me a 38 and said, now look, you know how to use this gun? I said, yeah. Am I going to need it? Well, it's a bad part of town. That's just where he lives. I didn't know what I was in for. It was dark Sunday night about like this, getting darker. When he took me down there and I drove down, followed him down there, I was by myself. My family wasn't with me. And one of the rare times that I was by myself and put me in that house. But when I walked into that door, I seen a verse of scripture on the wall that said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And there on the kitchen table was a little basket of fruit and stuff for Brother Phil. He didn't know me. He'd come to hear a kid preacher preach under an old gospel tent in Canton, Ohio one time and said, if you ever can come through, I want you to preach for me. And I was coming from Brother Rick's house when he had started the church in the chicken house up in Sylvania, Michigan. He knew me back then. He don't know me anymore. I know what happened there, brother. And these guys, I'm just kidding. I was up there this year. And I called Brother Joni, let me preach. But when I went into that house, there was a peace about it. There was scripture on the wall. There was a tidiness and a cleanliness. I noticed that. It wasn't fancy, but it was clean. I noticed that about your house, Jay. I don't mean to be putting my finger on you, but I was in your house and it was steady, it was clean. Now, he's been working. I understand that. I'm a construction worker. I know what that's like. But it was clean, and they opened that house. That house. You say, why? Because God was in the house. He told me, pick any bed you want. He said, you can sleep anywhere you want, Brother Phil. He said, he had seven kids. He said, there's two bunks in about every room. Just pick a bed, sleep anywhere you want to sleep. And I picked a bed, a single bed, and I slept so good that night. And now, I did jump up once. I heard somebody in the alley knocking over the trash cans, and I went and looked. And there's a big old light I turned. It was about four raccoons downtown Cleveland trying to find a free lunch. I didn't shoot them, and I'm a country boy. I let them go, went on back and got in bed and slept so good. They come the next morning. Make sure I got out of there and didn't take the gun with me. And I left the gun. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying you can go to some people's house and you can tell there's order in the house. You can tell God's been there. You can tell it's a Christian home. You can tell it's built on the rock and not on the sand. And somebody's trying to have a home where God shows up and raise a family where God shows up. And say, what is that? Well, that's a home. I showed you the house of God. I showed you a home here that ought to be built on the rock. Let me show you. There's only four of them, and I'll be done. Said the home of God, our dwelling place, the house of God, the church house. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Notice it, there's nothing said anything about a Baptist church or anything else, but it ought to be a church that knows the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and knows about the Lord Jesus Christ and sacrificial death and the blood that he shed at Calvary. I don't care what name's on the front of it. If it's preaching the truth from the Word of God, salvation by grace through faith in this hour and this day, then there will be an order in that house. There will be a godliness in that house. Say, why? Because God is a God of order. And you ought to be able to sense it. I've preached in churches that ain't Baptist churches. I preached in Bruce McDowell's church many times. And it used to be a Grace Brethren church back when they used to get saved. And they did change the name when he took it all 20 years ago. And they called it the Bible Way Church. You know what? When you went into that church to preach, it's just like going any place else where they preach the Word of God. There was a liberty behind that pulpit. You say, why? Because the Word of God had been preached and the Spirit of God had been able to work in the midst of those people, and they had learned and they had grown, and people had been saved and people had been converted, people had been helped. And you say, why? It was the house of God, and there was honor in the house, and the Holy Spirit was able to work and to move in the midst of the assembly of God, which is the real church of God. Let me talk about that last house and I'll be done. That's the house of this tabernacle, your body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and he's talking about your body, if it was dissolved, if we should die, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Say, what is that? That's that new body that we're going to get. And that new body, if I can understand and believe anything about this Bible, will be able to leap and praise the Lord. Amen. You say, why? When Jesus was healing them down, they was able to leap and praise God for what he was able to do. And that was in a body like we got that was healed, though, by the glorious, miraculous power of God. I got a feeling when we get that new body, no more aches, no more pain, no more diseases. I mean, you'll be able to eat bread and fish if you want. Amen. I mean, you'll be able to walk through the wall there. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about what I know about that new body that we're going to get one of these days. But we got a body while we're living down here. And as I told you from the scriptures, God has a desire and has always had a desire to dwell among his people. He wants fellowship with his people. And so we're said when we get saved to be and have Christ in us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, as I've been saying all night. But here, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple he is. Listen, if God wanted order in his house, and he has it. If God wanted order in the tabernacle over in the Old Testament, he has it. If God wants order in our homes across the nation, then listen, he says it in his word. If God wants order in the church house, then my friend, we should give it to him. And God wants order in this temple, this house of this body, where God is said to dwell. Well, I don't understand that, Brother Felton. I'll tell you what. When you get saved, according to the Word of God, he comes in and takes up residency. He's living in you. I guess what I'm trying to say, if the resident is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost of glory, then he ought to be the ruler in this house too. Could I ask you, is there order in your temple tonight? Who rules your thoughts and your attitudes and your desires? Oh, preacher, you've done went to meddling. You was preaching so good till you got down where I live. Did you think I wasn't coming where you live? Say, why? Because the Bible does. It comes where I live. It came where Job was. Oh, wretched man that I... Listen. Ain't none of us worthy of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, which is Christ in us. It's one of those mysteries I can't understand. But just because I can't understand it doesn't mean that I'm not going to let the resident that now dwells in me be the ruler of this tabernacle. I want to please him. I want to put myself in order. Paul said he wanted to keep his body under because of having preached to others, at least he himself become a castaway. But there's a lot of castaways out there that don't even know they're castaways. Say, what happened? The resident is not the ruler, and there's no order in the house. But I have showed you from the Old Testament to the New that God wants order in the house. Now, if he dwells in you, I would say, look at yourself. How I've wrote some things down. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:17, if any man defile the temple of God, and he's talking about that body, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And I think he's talking about defiling it with thoughts, attitudes, vice. If I read my Bible right, old bad habits that are hard to break. Because if that's true, and we're still doing some of the stuff, you know what I'm saying. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, 2 Timothy 1:13, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Brother, you stick with what the Word of God says. You put order in the house. Every time I see order in the house, I see the blessing of God. Well, God is blessing me. Man, I got good health. I'm this, I'm that. But listen, maybe you are limiting the Holy One of Israel. You know, that is a possibility. God is a good God and a long-suffering God, and he puts up with a whole lot of nonsense out of us just to have fellowship with him. And then that's why Paul said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And he says there that we're not to quench the Spirit of God. The book of Hebrews says, let us lay aside every weight, every sin, and weight. Sin is connected to the grieving of the Holy Spirit of God. And weight, that stuff that you just think, well, I'll do what I want to do. It's my body. And the weight is connected with quenching. When you quench the Holy Spirit, you quench the blessings of God, and you quench what you could have if you would give God the rightful order in your house. Oh, am I preaching tonight or am I preaching? I'm preaching to me. You say, how do you know that? How are you so good at that? Because I'm so vile and so wicked. Say a lot of wrong things. Think a lot of wrong thoughts. Do a lot of wrong deeds. I'm going to confess one. Don't feed me tonight, Bo. I got to confess. I love to eat. I'll pull up to that trough and I'll stuff myself with more food than I ought to at any human being ought to eat. Say, what? I'm helping you tonight. Then I'll stay up to 11, 12 o'clock because I can't sleep and I'm getting old and I have acid reflux and I throw up in my throat. And you say, what is it? That's defilement of the temple. Say, what is it? It's wrong. Say, what do you do? Take a handful of antacids and a couple PM pills and try to sleep. Say, what is that? That's me abusing my body. Now, Brother Phil just confessed his sin. Now, I'm not going to ask you to confess yours. I don't even want to know. I know we're all dirty, rotten sinners. You probably thought things today that, defiled the temple. Be careful now. Say, what do you say? Look, is God to be found in your heart? You say, yes, yes, he's there, he's there. Well, let me say, is there order in your house? And I pray and confess and say, God, I told my wife, I don't want to eat nothing tonight. She said, why? I said, because I got to preach this old message God gave me. And I got to start doing something about my own sin. The Holy Ghost of God is the only thing that can bring order to your house. And I want him to have his place. I want to do him right. I want to do him honor. I want him to be proud of me. And I want him to bless me like he's never blessed me before. Say, now that's just me talking. But I believe every child of God ought to want God to dwell and walk with them in the purest form, and that we'd give him a good tabernacle to live in. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I live by the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is just our reasonable service. So this old body, it can get to wanting to do, man, I love sugar. I had 4 or 5 pieces of cake on my plate last night. But you say, what's wrong with you? I can't do it in moderation. Same problem a lot of folks got with a lot of things. And I'm not picking on nobody. I'm picking on myself. I'm just saying, if I want a better walk with God, I'll put a little discipline in my life. You say, why? Because God is a God of order. And he said to dwell in every believer. And he can dwell well if we'll give him his rightful place. So if he's a resident, is he the ruler? Or are you the ruler? And he's just pushed back in the corner and you're doing what you want to do and fulfilling the desire and the lust of the flesh that you want, and you're just found every way that you can justify anything and everything that you want to do, and it's okay. And, oh, we're all in the Lord and we have the liberty. Listen, not according to the God I know and how he wants to dwell in you and me. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to him. Need to do what he says. So tonight, you say, but I don't even know what you've been talking about. Well, I've been talking about the Lord dwelling in a man. And I know this, the devil sure likes to dwell in people, and he don't need no order to your house. Matter of fact, he is the total opposite of God. He'll let you have disorder, discord. He'll let you think vile thoughts, eat all the food you want, do anything you want, have all the vices and all the bad, no nasty habits you want to have, and he won't care. He'll let you violate your flesh. He'll be happy that you do it. And listen, that's just how the world lives. And if you're tired of living like that, and you're sitting here tonight, you could get saved, because my God is a gracious, loving God that says, all I need is a little order in the house and I want to come and dwell with you. Yeah. What? Do I have to clean myself up? No. He'll clean you up. Because when he comes to your house, if you invite him in, he'll make some changes in your house. Now, if you've just recently been saved, you could testify, I'm making some changes, preacher. God come to my house. If you'd like to have God come in tonight, he'd like to come in, because he's always longed to dwell with his children. If you'll become his child, see, you belong to the devil now. You say, well, I don't belong to nobody. I belong to me. No, no, you belong to the devil. If you don't belong to God, you belong to the devil. See, you're a spiritual being trying to have a human experience. And that human experience, the devil will blind you, make you think that there ain't nothing going on. Brother Jay did a sound, solid job teaching on them other spirits this morning that want to keep you blind and keep you down and keep you deceived. Don't let that happen, because the devil is a master at blinding the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them. He's trying to shine a light into your heart tonight if you're lost and you need to be saved. Why don't you trust Christ tonight? It'll change you. It'll change your house. It'll change how you think about the church house. Amen. And it'll give you a new respect for God who lives in the house over there. Almost said big house, but that won't fly. In the house over there. How about it? Let's stand for a word of prayer. Let's stand for a song of invitation. We could get a verse or two. I don't know what you're accustomed to tonight. We probably ought to have one verse of invitation or something. If folks are coming, great. I'm not accustomed to how everybody does things. We do things a little different in our church. All church a little different, but it's okay. God knows there's liberty at the Spirit of the Lord when He's here. But if you have a need tonight, won't you take care of business right where you're at if you can? If you can't, you got an altar here and there's plenty of folks. Be glad to pray with you, kneel with you. What shall we sing, Brother Bo? 357 in that songbook, and they're finding their places. And I think as we sing, as we begin to sing,